I want to introduce you to Handel's Messiah this morning. The choir is going to come in a few minutes, and they are going to sing some selections from what I think many would argue is perhaps the greatest oratorio of all time. What is interesting about Handel's Messiah is that in American culture, we associate it with Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Actually, the Messiah was intended to associated with Christmas. Actually, the Messiah was intended to be performed at Easter, not at Christmas. And that little bit of the historical background on that. Let me give you a little bit of history of this, and I think it'll help you appreciate it. One of the things that you learn in life is that some of the greatest things in life come out of some of the greatest heartache. And that is true of the Messiah. George Frederick Handel, and I'm going to read most of this, so I will not tend to roam. George Frederick Handel, born in 1685, is without question one of the great musical composers in human history. As a young composer, he was applauded by European royalty, supported by wealthy patrons of the arts. However, by his late 40s and by his early 50s, Handel and his music had fallen out of favor, leaving the great composer angry, frustrated, and a forgotten man. Handel wrestled with despair and hopelessness. He could not sleep, and he was plagued by rheumatism. Finally, a stroke left his left side paralyzed, and doctors gave him little hope of recovery. Handel traveled to France, and he began soaking in the hot mineral baths, and gradually he began to heal. His weakened muscles began to grow strong and his health improved. Eventually, he returned to England, and once again, the composer's compositions were received to thunderous applause. And tragically, almost as soon as his success returned, Handel suffered another setback when Queen Caroline, one of his staunchest supporters, died. Soon after, England was facing hard economic times, and the idea of heating large auditoriums for concerts seemed foolish. Performances of Handel's works were canceled, and the composer was hounded by creditors demanding payment. The great composer feared he would live out his days in a debtor's prison. In the summer of 1741, Handel received two letters that changed his life. The first letter was an invitation from the Duke of Devonshire inviting him to Dublin, Ireland to produce a series of benefit concerts. In the late August 1741, a second letter arrived from a Charles Jennings. Jennings was a wealthy landowner, a patron of the arts, and a student of theology who had written lyrics for Handel in the past. Opening the letter, Handel was amazed to find a compilation of Old and New Testament scripture passages. Handel read the words, "He was despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions, and all they that see him laugh him to scorn." His eyes raced ahead to the words. He trusted in God that he would deliver him, but God did not leave his soul in hell. He is the King of glory. His eyes stopped on the words, "Hallelujah. I know that my Redeemer liveth. For now is Christ risen from the dead. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." Handel was so moved by the words that he immediately picked up the pen and began to write. Music seemed to flow through his mind to his pen as though the Spirit of God had inspired it. For the next 23 days, Handel withdrew himself from the world and was so immersed in his music that the food that was brought to him was often left untouched. Handel completed part one in the first 7 days. "Behold, a virgin shall conceive, for unto us a child is born. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace. Part 2 was finished 9 days later. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was despised. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Describing His feelings when the Hallelujah chorus burst into his mind, Handel said, I did see all heaven before me and the great God Himself. Less than a week later, Handel completed part 3, portraying the resurrection, the second coming of Christ, and the future reign of Christ as the Lamb that was slain. Handel wrote, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and hath redeemed us to God by His blood. It's not my desire this morning that you appreciate the genius of a composer. It's not my desire this morning that you would be entertained in this morning's service. It is my desire that you would come to know the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you, just in summary, 4 thoughts. Here's the first thought. Who was Jesus Christ? He was the virgin-born, only begotten Son of God, the Lamb slain for the sins of the world. 700 years before Christ was born, a prophet named Isaiah, writing to the nation of Judah, Israel itself already being in captivity, prophesied that God would raise up an heir to the throne of David. We read in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. He would be an extraordinary person. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, we read these words, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful meaning the majestic one, the extraordinary one. His name shall be the Counselor, meaning the all-wise one. His name shall be the Mighty God, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, literally the Father of Eternity, and finally, the Prince of Peace. Imagine that. This one whose birth we're celebrating today was the God of Eternity. He was the Father of Eternity. He was the All-Wise One. He was the Word made flesh. Not only who was He, but I want you to consider, where was Christ born? You've listened to our teenagers this morning in the narration and some of the songs as we were singing about Bethlehem. Well, this is what you read from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. 700 years, again, he was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. So 700 years before, he writes, but thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, Ephrathah meaning fruitful, out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler, the king in Israel, whose, watch, read this statement, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Do you see again? Eternity, eternity, eternity. You know, this past year, as we're coming to the end of December, 2021, and there's a part of me, even listening to the choir singing this morning and the celebration of Christmas, I want to say, whew, I'm glad 2021 is almost over, aren't you? I look out into our audience this morning. There have been some that have been in the hospital, literally in the shadow of death this year. Whether it was COVID or double pneumonia or whatever it might have been. There have been others who have lost loved ones this year. And so you look at the world around us, the trouble and the turmoil, and you wonder, what hope is there? The answer to that question, it's the hope that was already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let me give you another thought that goes with this. Not only who was Christ or where was He born, but when did the Messiah, Jesus Christ, come? Paul, writing to the Galatians, wrote these words, "But when the fullness of the time was come." What does that mean? It means when God had appointed, Christ came. You know, sometimes we look at the world and you hear believers say, well, you know, things are in so much turmoil that surely the Lord's got to be coming this year, or it's got to be soon. And my answer to you is this: He'll come when it is appointed. And until then, we should be faithful. We should be faithful. Now, going back to this, the fulfillment of the coming of Christ, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. When you leave here today and you're going down the road and it's 45 miles an hour and you decide that you're going to pass the unmarked car who is holding at 45 and you breeze by at 65, you're going to find out what it means to be under the law. It means to be subject to. Jesus Christ was born into this world, a sinless man, the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless, perfect life, and yet He was subject to the law. But He never violated the law. You and I, as we sit here this morning and we're listening and we're worshiping, we are all violators of the law of God, aren't we? For all have sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. So that's who we are. But who was Christ? He was the perfect, only begotten, sinless Son of God. Not only the when, but let me close with the why. Why did the Messiah, Jesus Christ, come? Galatians 5, verse 5, or 4, verse 5. He came to what? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Why did Christ come? He came to redeem me. The idea of being redeemed is to be purchased. Purchased out of what? Purchased out of the condemnation of sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is what? Is death. Death has haunted us in the last 2 years like perhaps never before in our lifetime. Someone is ill, and one of the first questions is, do they have what? COVID. Because we know that hundreds of thousands have died. You and I do not know what the year ahead holds, do we? In fact, we don't even know what tomorrow holds for us. But I do want you to know, we all live under the sentence of death, unless we've been purchased. Purchased out of the slavery of sin. Purchased out of the condemnation of sin. Now, we will all surely die unless the Lord comes before our deaths. But it is the second death, the eternal death, that would be our concern. For we know that in Christ shall all be made alive. But apart from Christ, there is that condemnation of sin, which is death. I close with two verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. You read with me. Follow as I read. We read, "For since by man, Adam's sin, came death." Why is that? The wages of sin is death. But we also read, "By man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, the first man, all died," that is, we are under the sentence of death, "even so in Christ shall all be made alive." The key to that thought is in Christ. I am the son of Ted Smith. I can take you to the gravesite of the man that bears my name. He was my grandfather, Travis Smith. And I can take you further than that. I can take you back generation by generation by generation. And it can be said of my lineage, all have died. And the same is true of yours. But the question is, how did we die? Did we die apart from Christ, or did we die in Christ? In Christ shall all be made alive, purchased out of the curse of sin, with the hope and the promise of life eternal in Jesus Christ. This choir is going to come and they're going to sing. And they're going to sing a reflection of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, crucified not just for my sin, but for the sins of the world. And I would ask you this morning, is He your Savior? He died for your sin because He had what it took to buy you out of that slavery and the condemnation of sin. And what is that? A sinless life. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Is He your Savior?